This story in the Gospel of Matthew is found only in the Gospel of Mark. It is not found in John, and it is not found in Luke. The story was a scandal to many in the church. And many members of that early church community didn't know how to deal with it. Not the least being St. Luke. You see, Luke doesn't like to show any weakness on the part of Jesus or on the part of the disciples. So Jesus and the disciples come out pretty shiny in the Gospel according to Luke, less shiny in the Gospel according to Matthew, and most tarnished in the Gospel according to Mark. For instance, in Mark and in Matthew, it is James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who come to Jesus and who ask to have special place for themselves in the kingdom. Luke found that an embarrassment that two of the apostles would be so greedy. So when Luke tells the story, it's not James and John who come forward. It's their mother who comes forward and who makes the case for them. So he saves the reputation of James and John. Well, in this story, Jesus is anything but politically correct. He leaves Capernaum and he travels north along the Mediterranean coast of what is now Lebanon, into the twin cities of Tyre and Sidon. He is immediately met by a Canaanite woman. In Mark's gospel, it is not a Canaanite woman, it is a Syrophoenician, in other words, a Greek. But Matthew's gospel is much stronger. This is a woman who has no connection whatever with Israelite faith. She is the representative of the total outcast. So this woman who has no shred of connection to the faith of Israel cries out to Jesus, gives him a title, an honorary title, to gather his attention. Son of David, have mercy on me. She's saying, be as compassionate as David the king. Show me mercy. Jesus totally ignores her, pays no attention to her, rejects her out of hand. And his disciples say to him, get rid of her. She's shrieking after us. Jesus at that moment affirms his ministry. I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman would have none of that. This woman was assertive. In fact, this woman was very aggressive. She works her way through the crowd and she throws herself at Jesus' feet, and once again, she insists, help me. It's at this point that Jesus is very crude to her, very demeaning to her. He says it is not appropriate, it is not right to take what belongs to the children of the household and to throw it out to feed the dogs. The Greek word that is used for dog has the same connotation as the B word has. It is a grave attack upon the integrity of this woman. But Jesus has met his match. The woman would not be put off. She can duel with Jesus wit for wit. She says, "Oh yes, I understand. But even the puppy dogs, even the household pets, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus is amazed. He's bowled over. He has nothing to say back to the woman. He looks at her and says, "Your faith is great." Jesus steps away from the stereotype. Jesus steps away from the cultural wisdom of the time. Jesus steps away from the principles that govern relationships among the people of Israel. Jesus steps away from that. He changes his mind and his heart. He finds faith where he didn't expect to find it. And he says to her, "What you have asked will be accomplished." And at that moment, her daughter recovered. Well, why do Matthew and why do Mark include this story? I would suggest to you that the reason that the story is included in those two Gospels is because it is at this juncture in the Gospel that Jesus begins to announce the kingdom for all people. That God's plan was not only for the house of Israel. God's plan was for all nations. And I believe that Matthew and Mark included the story so that that early Christian community might recognize that they were not, that those Jewish Christians were not the sole object of God's saving love. And that was a very difficult thing for first generation Christians to deal with. Peter was reluctant to preach the gospel to non-Jews. And so were most of those apostles and disciples. It was only when Peter saw a vision and was commanded by the voice of God in that vision to go to the house of Cornelius, the Gentile, that Peter actually did it. It was Paul, more than anyone else, who embraced that principle of God's universal love and universal desire to save and became the apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle to the nations. But that was not an easy movement within that first and second generation church. To move beyond the faith of Israel. Now, in the second reading of today's liturgy, Paul makes it very clear that the promise God made to Israel remains intact, that salvation does come from the Jews, that God will not withdraw his favor even though people have been unfaithful to him. And even the woman in the story recognizes that. She recognizes the pride of place that is given to Israel. Jesus says it is not right to take what belongs to the children, what belongs to the house of Israel, and to throw it to dogs. She accepts the fact that she does not belong at the table. She accepts the fact that she is not equal to those of Israelite faith. She doesn't argue that at all. But what she affirms is that the love and the salvation of God goes beyond. And she says, in effect, if I can't sit at the table, then let me be like the household pet who takes the scraps that fall from the master's table. Well, the challenge of the church is to enter into a strong, respectful, faith-filled dialogue with men and women of diverse religious background and tradition, recognizing that the love of God and the saving grace of God is meant for all. And that when that interreligious dialogue takes place, when that interreligious searching takes place, it is a searching for the truth. The truth who is God. The truth of God for human beings. Now, you and I, as believing Christian people, hold that it is in Jesus Christ that the fullness of God's truth is revealed. We hold that. And yet, when we enter into dialogue with non-Christians, we must first listen to the faith that they express, to the search for truth that guides their lives, and then speak respectfully and carefully and honestly of the search for truth that governs our lives. Recognizing that the person we have the conversation with can learn something from us, and we can learn something from the other. Just as Jesus learned something in the gospel today, that the assumptions about who has faith are not always true. As he says to this woman, "Your faith is great. What you ask will be accomplished for you." We turn to the Lord God and we pray in faith.
That the church may be attentive to the life and needs of today's world and discover in its aspirations bridges towards Christian hope. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That there may be room in the church for the cultural riches of various peoples, and for manifesting one of the same faith in a variety of languages and forms. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we may open our hearts and homes to those that are hard to accommodate, strangers and refugees, the homeless and the poor, victims of discrimination and oppression, that we may do all we can to integrate them into the human and Christian community. Let us pray.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick. Daniel Goodstein, Nick Baker, Tom Schmidt, Bern Eklund, Bernie Casserly, Russ Duncanson, Anne Osborne. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Christ be in our senses, marked with sacred sign. In the incarnation, flesh became divine. Christ be in your hearing, tune you to rejoice. In each shout or whisper, hear God's calling voice. Christ be in your vision, guard you day and night. Keep your feet from stumbling, shine God's holy light. Christ be in your speaking, train your every word. In your daily witness, let God's truth be heard. Christ be in your breathing, constantly impart grace to every movement, peace within your heart. Christ be in your senses, marked with sacred sign. In the Spirit's presence, flesh becomes divine.